Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Schaffewaloff, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began a look at the five solas. These are Latin phrases that came out of the Protestant Reformation, which I guess you could say summarizes the belief of evangelical Christianity. Let me go over them very quickly. They are sola scriptura, by scripture alone, solo Christo or solus Christus, through Christ alone, sola gratia, by grace alone, sola fide, by faith alone, and sola Deo gloria, glory to God alone. Yesterday we looked at sola scriptura and sola Christo. Today we're going to be looking at sola gratia, or salvation by grace alone. And of course, this is an issue that comes up a lot when you are talking with members of the LDS Church. It's not that they don't have a concept of grace. They will insist that they do believe in grace. However, do they believe in grace alone, through faith alone? And that's what we're going to talk about.
So what's really cool about summarizing the five solas of the evangelical Christian faith is that we keep using this word alone. And I think part of the challenge for Christians, for non-Christians, in really understanding the Christian faith is what it means for grace to be by faith alone, to the glory of God alone, by the work of Christ alone, bounded by Scripture alone. All those alones, we kind of have to wrap our head around it. What does that mean? In what context or in what sense is it being done alone by that thing? So here, again, we're summarizing the five solas. This is just meant to be a quick summary for outsiders to understand our faith. So by grace alone, what does that mean? So I'm just going to read some scriptures here. In Titus 3, verse 5, Paul says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So I'm really pointing out the contrast there, even though he's using the word mercy. Romans 11, verse 6, "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace." And then really neat one is Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Now, what I'm really tempted to do is read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but I've saved that one for by faith alone, but it really pertains to by grace alone, by faith alone. Mm-hmm. It pertains to all five in the end, but the essential idea here, by grace alone, is that there's such a thing as merit, or earning, or worthiness, or righteousness, or an unrighteousness that has to be dealt with or accounted for. My unrighteousness will be punished, and Christ's righteousness alone can be the foundation or the sufficient basis for my salvation. But what about me? How am I to receive? How am I receive this? And what's God's orientation toward me in all of this? Well, the evangelical Christian says, it's grace all the way down. All the way down. And especially, that's especially clear in the evangelical faith on the issue of how salvation is designed. Is it designed to help us earn or merit or qualify for or prove ourselves worthy of this free gift of mercy, of salvation? The Bible says it's designed so that he gets the glory. It's designed by grace, not by works. It's by mercy, not by works. It's by the purpose of his grace.
And I think what's lost on a lot of our LDS friends is when they are told by their leaders, and their leaders have actually said these things, that mercy must be merited. You can't merit mercy. It's impossible.
This is a great time to do simple definitions in your evangelism. So you could just say something like, hey, what do you think the definition of grace is? And you're doing two things there. You're asking your neighbor for his viewpoint. You're getting him to give his perspective, but you're also causing or prompting a thought process about the definition, which is lacking, I think, in culture, period. So
it's certainly lacking in a lot of the conversations that Christians have with their LDS friends, because how many times do we hear Christians that are critical of what we're trying to accomplish by telling us that they've had conversations with their Mormon neighbors, and it sounds like they believe everything that they believe. And when you ask them, did you ask them what they meant when they used these very terms that you've just described? Oh, no, why should I do that? Well, if you don't, you're going to be talking past each other. You're not really communicating, even though you're using the same words.
It is, say, like in your trade, if you're a plumber or a programmer, it's already important there to define your terms. Well, with religious rhetoric, with the religious language, it is 1,000 times more important to define your terms, because religions tend to have internal functioning definitions that aren't very apparent to outsiders. So get to a really natural place in the conversation where you can give your definition of grace. And here's a good, simple definition of grace. It is unmerited favor. And this is a really neat place to talk about Christmas and a present or a gift, and how a gift is something you give to somebody without expecting some sort of business transaction or payment in return.
And you know what's funny about that is many times we have taken Mormons to lunch to talk with them. And that's a standing invitation that we have. If a Mormon really is serious and wants to talk about these issues, we'll take them to lunch. And it's funny because we invite them to come to lunch, and then I am going to pay for that meal. I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to pay for that meal. And the Mormon is, it's funny because they want to fight us about that. And I have to explain to them, look, this is an act of grace on my part. You don't have to pay me for this. This is something I want to give you. And when the Mormon is really struggling with that, I remind them, do you see the difference in our worldview here? Your worldview is coming to the top because it's hard for you to accept something freely.
It's very humbling to say, hey, I am not in a position to offer God anything in return for this. This is 100% gift, and I need to receive it as a gift. And that really puts me in the position of the receiver. I'm the needy one. He's the giver. I'm the weak one. He's the strong one. I'm small. He's big. I'm wicked. I'm sinful. He's righteous and pure.
Have you ever thought about, let's say in God's eyes, with people who think that they need to pay him back for his goodness, if I was insisting, let's say, on paying for that meal, and the Mormon is just adamant and is going to fight and argue with me right there in the restaurant, after a while, I gotta say, I'll probably lose patience and I'll start getting a little perturbed here. You know, I wonder if God's the same way, that he's trying to offer this to show his mercy, his grace, his love, his compassion. And here are these people thinking, oh, no, I've got to give you something in return. I got to give you something in
return. He's very patient, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
More patient than I am. One quick story. When I was street preaching once on the streets of Manti, here I am now, like, boasting of maybe something righteous I did. But I'm using this as an illustration, I think, of grace. And I think of God having worked through me in the moment. This is, anyway, somebody threw a water bottle at me when I was preaching to a crowd, and it nailed me. It was a good throw.
Good shot.
and it was really neat, because part of the street preaching presentation was grace. It was about how we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that we need to receive that as a gift and not think that we can somehow earn it like an employee does to an employer. And this kid, you know, just being a goofball, he nailed me. Well, all these adult eyes just went whoom right onto him, and he was found out. Everyone looked at him, and I pointed to him, and I said, "Will you please come here and talk with me? I want to give you something." So it was brave kid came up.
That's surprising. And it's not a left hook.
And right? I gave him a bill for my wallet. I think it was a $5 bill. And I said, I want to give you this to show you what grace is. This is not merely a situation where he's a friend and I'm doing something kind. This is somebody who's acted like an enemy. And that's really what you have in the gospel is you have humanity is an enemy to God. We've acted like enemies in our behavior and our thoughts and our feelings toward God. In Romans 5, it says that Christ died for his enemies. This is his act of grace. So that was just my way of trying to illustrate grace. This is sometimes I do that in very small and partial and fallible ways with my kids. I try to be a good disciplinarian. This is just a real weak metaphor for grace, but sometimes, man, they really mess up and they warrant, you know, a negative consequence, a punishment, a discipline. And sometimes, just to make a point about grace, just to teach it, I just cancel the debt, as it were. I say, you know what, John? I am going to show you what grace looks like. And instead of you being disciplined, or instead of you, Lydia, being punished for what you did, I'm going to do something nice or kind or good to you just to show you what grace looks like. And what's really neat about God's grace is Romans 2 says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. So this is the whole orientation of the gospel is that we are needy, sinful, we can't contribute, but God has acted in grace to us. He's the giver, we're the receiver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And who's the ultimate giver? God is.
And ultimately, out of that gracious act that's been bestowed upon us, naturally, out of our love that's returned, we want to live a life which gives him honor and glory. It's not done out of drudgery. It's done out of something that we want to do from our heart. I think that's lost sometimes. I know I've talked to Mormons who look at their life of works as an act of drudgery. They have to do it. So it's not coming really out of a love for God. It's coming out of a duty to the church because that's what the church has told them. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow as we look again at the five solas.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.